Hello, everyone. We welcome you to our Sunday morning roundtable discussion with the subject of man today. We are recording from the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent, Plainfield, New Jersey, in the United States of America. And we are so glad you all could join us today. We will start with our morning prayer.
I'm reading from excerpts from pages 1965 and 20 of the Blue Book. You are the child of the loving God, surrounded and protected by infinite love. There is no hatred or evil to frighten you. You have no disease. You have nothing to fear. You are not in danger. You are entirely well and continually held in the presence of God. We are the channels, transparencies for the reflection of His goodness in proportion to the demonstration we have made over self and the understanding gained of the truth of being, the love for the brotherhood. Abide in love. Nothing can touch or harm you in love. Know that you live in love. Love is God as life itself. Take this understanding with you and bless others with love. Mary Baker Eddy.
Just beautiful. Florence, every week you come up with beautiful prayers. Thank you so much. What pages were those?
It was 1965 and 20.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
What was it?
65 and 20. All right. The watching.
Watch number 249. Watch lest you accept as your goal in science a sense of perfection as coming from any standpoint but that of reflection. This watching point is necessary because of the persistence of the suggestion from traditional theology that we can and must make this mortal self perfect.
Wow, yes. Okay, comments on that.
Well, I love that spot of reflection. I remind myself as much as I can that everything I'm doing is by reflection, not by any other. I'm just reflecting God. I'm not doing anything of myself. Of myself, I can do nothing. But as God's reflection, all things are possible.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Well, this watching point is both brief and enormous, and I'm very thankful for it, because you know how it is in society today. It's so common to identify people as either good or bad, virtuous or wrongful or whatever, whereas the only thing that's good is God Himself, and the only thing that's good about us is our ability to reflect Him. So goodness is one of these things that doesn't attach to persons or personality, but rather is it the release of that and the acceptance of what God is constantly sending us through His great mercy.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So where does pride fit in with this thing?
Oh, it gets in the way of the reflecting. Definitely.
Yeah, it doesn't fit in at all, does it?
Under the foot.
It fits by being cast out.
It makes your window dirty. You cannot be reflection.
Well, yeah, it's not your friend at all in any way, is it?
No. No.
And that's why it goeth before a fall. Pride. And it will. You might seem to go okay for a while, but you will end up falling on your face. I know I've done it many times.
Well, and isn't this the right concept of humility?
Yes.
And in humility, we can express the perfection that, you know, everybody really desires, but few know how to get there.
What I like about this is, if you think about, you know, that we are supposed to be perfect, the initial thought, for me anyway, was like everything, all of my life, the entirety of it, I got to make perfect. How could such a thing be? But I've learned it's really just, it's simple. What in this moment is God telling you to do? Do it. That's it, you know?
Right.
And then the next moment, when that comes, do it again. So, and then it becomes a lot easier and you don't have to worry about it.
Thank you. This is probably one of the most important aspects of Christian Science, and maybe not truly understood deeply as it should be. You can get where you feel you are, you know, listening to God and doing everything God tells you to do. Well, I was doing that once for a while, and there was a whole list of things that I thought God was telling me to do. That didn't mean he was telling me to do those things. That was my human concept of this. You know, if I could obey him and do all these things, and then I would be perfect. But that was off. That's not quite what it's saying. You're at one moment. Is, yes, self getting out of the way and letting God use you. He's the vine, you are the branch, the all source, everything comes from him and flows to you. You don't produce any fruits on your own. It's always God, and that does require a lot of humility and also, yes, obedience. It is, obedience is definitely there. But it's different from this human thing of trying to be perfect and do everything God wants me to do, then I'll be perfect. That's exhausting. I mean, that's where I was falling on my face. There was something not right about that. And I still, this is a deep concept to work on and to think about every day. Your oneness with the Father, your reflection, yes. Carrie, again, she sent me some beautiful articles of my favorite authors. One of them called Reflection by Louise Knight Wheatley. And in that article, she quotes in Science and Health on 515 to 516, your mirrored reflection is your own image or likeness. If you lift a weight, your reflection does this also. If you speak, the lips of the likeness move in accord with yours. Now compare man before the mirror to his divine principle, God. Call the mirror divine science and call the man reflection. Then note how true, according to Christian Science, is the reflection to its original. As the reflection of yourself appears in the mirror, so you, being spiritual, are the reflection of God. And it's interesting because she says, call the mirror divine science. So what does that mean?
It's only through science that we can understand or see the concept or understand the concept that we are reflection. Divine science reveals that truth to us.
Thank you.
It's the transparency.
But Florence?
No, I said it's the transparency. I mean, if water is not clear, you cannot see the reflection, right?
Yes.
So it's clearing thought, getting self out of the way and clearing thought for you to be able to be the reflection.
Thank you.
It says perfect God, perfect man as the basis of thought and demonstration. So how are we, you know, how do we become that perfect man? By clearing our thinking, all the negativity, the resentment, the pride, whatever, is blocking the view.
Thank you.
We can't really know anything other than by being what God made us to be, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're pretty fortunate that there's a lot of things that we can know in spite of ourselves. God really is a good God, and he does love us.
So, yeah, remember, if science, if divine science is the mirror, then what we know of this science is so important, and that's why we study our textbook the way we do, so we can be that perfect reflection. Now, besides being clear, what else must the water must be in order to be a good reflection?
Still.
Yeah.
Quiet.
Mm-hmm. Remember that when you get all anxious and foofing around, as we say.
Jittery.
Jittery. Mm-hmm. Someone was describing they'd taken a cruise in Alaska. They'd seen an eagle take off. And the eagle did not beat its wings. What does it do?
Yeah. It glides on the up.
Yes, thank you. It just spreads its wings and glides. It's getting its full support from the wind beneath my wing. So if you ever feel like you're flapping your wings, you need to quiet yourself and remember that it's total dependency on God. Total dependency on God. The other thing Mrs. Evans used to talk about, it's in the Peter V. Ross lectures and articles, I think, about the deep sea surfers
the South Sea.
Yes, South Sea surfers. And how did they ride the waves, right? They're not flapping and splashing, which is probably what I would. they're just riding those waves, and that's how they accomplish. It's incredible. If you ever watch those surfers who do it well, I mean, well, holy Moses, they just ride those waves. Total trust, total faith. Now, that faith, it's a faith, it requires that you trust his promises that are in the Bible, God's promises. That's what really faith is. God's, if you read the Bible, God says he's going to do a lot of things. He'll heal you. He'll comfort you. He'll make you wise, strong, strengthen you. Again, you can read all those things, but if you don't believe him, if you don't have faith that his promises are kept, then you go on in your anxious state. So understand that these promises are true and they're kept. That's your faith. You know, when David met Goliath, he had total faith of what?
Accomplishment, truth will win.
Yes, never doubted it. And this offense of Goliath was an offense to God. It was to God, and he had total faith that he would be victorious. There wasn't an ounce of doubt in that. And so he met and mastered. But it wasn't a faith on his, as we go over it often, but it wasn't a faith on his human ability, was it?
No.
Armor, which he wouldn't wear.
Hadn't proven it. Yeah, he obviously knew every other victory in his life was from God, too. So,
yeah. Yes.
So he had built up a confidence in his God. I love that statement that's in Dominion Within, where Mr. Kratzer describes Jesus, where it says, outwardly his life was full of contention and turmoil, but inwardly had a composure that was like a sea of glass. So just think about, you know, the times that he was living in, you know, the Roman occupation and could have looked like there had been caused all kinds of worry, contention, conflict, whatever. And when I was reading the lesson, I was struck so strongly about this. What did Jesus do? He went about all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. So it doesn't sound like it was someone who was over-concerned with the Roman occupation and the conflict that was going on outwardly at that time.
Thank you.
I think we also have to, the promises are kept, but the unfoldment of it comes at his time, not our time. Because people get so, I used to also get so discouraged. I thought, oh, let me just get out of here then. Let me just get out of here. This is enough, right? But it's his time, God's time. You have to wait for his time.
Yes. Yeah, and you can't force anything. Yes, and that's part of the reflection. You know, it's, don't force it. It just is. And in Zechariah, not by might nor by power, but by what?
By thy spirit.
Yes, my spirit. Thank you, Bruce. Spirit is the only thing that's going to do it. And you do. You have to hold back and wait for the moving of the waters, for God to move you, for this to happen. That beautiful testimony of Stefan. Mm-hmm. That boy really seeking him out. I'm sure he felt his Christ, because I'm sure he was in a turmoil about what was going on between Palestine and Israel. And Stefan gave him the perfect answer. It didn't take sides. This is the only thing that will heal it. If you violence begets violence, there'll just be no end to it. And no, it's love more. And that boy responded because he hugged and kissed him. It reached him as it reaches everyone. The truth reaches everyone. And who knows how far reaching that one ripple of water that was started, how far that will go, how often he will share it. Who knows? And one with God is the majority. That one right thought is more powerful than all the other tumultuous thoughts. This is true about Russia and the Ukraine. It's true about any of the difficulties in our own country as well. I mean, my own country, I'm talking about the U.S. of A. So the only answer, it comes by quietness, reflection, and living it and not trying to force issues. So you're at one moment. It's so important with God. It's so important to start your day thinking of how you're at one with God. Chardell, read what you sent to me.
It's about that man is free to enter into the holiest. And it's the realm of God. And that's from Science and Health 481. Man is tributary to God, spirit, and to nothing else. And then I was thinking really about this because we're watching a history movie. I wish I had the name of it. And it talked about the holiest of holies that they had back in Jerusalem. And only the priest could go into the inner sanctum once a year. And Christ comes and tells us that there you need no intercessory between you and the Father, your Father, that we can pray anytime, we can go to God anytime. And it's very beautiful. So we're made free. And Mrs. Eddy knew that. She studied the Bible so well that his love is always available.
Thank you.
Yeah. That show is the drive-through of the gospel.
Yeah,
right. Drive-through yeah. history.
Drive-through history. History. It's on Prime. It's very interesting. drive-through history of the gospels. And it takes you all around because I know Florence and I were talking how we probably will never get real. But anyway, you travel with this guy in his old beat up jalopy, and he talks about not just what you see. He does discuss various things and what went on in history. It's very interesting. There are many episodes of it. After it got the Gospels, it goes to Acts. Then there's one about Acts to Revelation. And then there's one about our founding fathers, about the history of the United States. I know it's not everyone's country, but it's very interesting. And it's free on Prime, yes. So, but that word, man is tributary to God's spirit and to nothing else. One of the definitions of tributary is yielding supplies to. God supplies you with whatever you need. He yields all his abundance to you when you're at one with him, in tune with him. I think that's beautiful. I mean, we know about a river being tributary, right, to a
bigger river.
A bigger river. It all runs into this smaller river. But think of yourself during the day that way. All of God's supplies, he's yielding to you. So what is it that you seem to be lacking?
What you believe you're lacking.
Yeah, believe you're lacking. As Victor Young's article, if you say, I want, you say, you don't have. And so here we're knowing you do have. Whether it's if you need health, happiness, supply, whatever it is you need, God is yielding it from his rich overflow. Again, he's the vine with the branch. If you cut the branch off, what happens? It dies. That's why you can't. That's when, if you're floundering around and flapping your wings, you got to get back into that, your source of supply.
Reattach yourself to the vine.
Yes, yes. And you'll never lack anything, and you won't be flapping all around. You do see, sadly enough, you know, if you see a fish out of water, right, he's lost his supply of
oxygen.
Oxygen, yes. Flap and flap, don't they, till they get back into the source. So don't get out of that source. And remember, it's not the words. The words are certainly helpful. As that beautiful story of Mary and the Chosen, the episode one season, Florence was saying, her favorite. You know, say the words. What do you do when you feel afraid? Say the words. Well, she was saying the words, but things weren't right. And she had to get where the words had meaning for her and were alive. And that was through the Christ that she learned that. Which Misha Ila is here. So Misha Ila, what did you send to me? You quoted that beautiful quote from Isaiah that's in the lesson.
Yes.
Mary would say.
Yes, I changed it to the first person, and I was inspired by it, by the interpretation of Psalm 91st by Mrs. Eddy. And it reads then like this. Now, thus saith the Lord that created me, O Jacob, and he that formed me, O Israel, fear not. He has redeemed me. He has called me by my name. I am his. I am his witness, says the Lord, and his servant whom he has chosen, that I may know and believe him and understand that he is me. Before him there was no God formed, neither shall there be after him. He, even he, is the Lord, and beside him there is no Savior. This people asked, as he formed for himself, we shall show forth his praise.
Thank you. So apply it to yourself. Know it's true. Claim your oneness. This is about your relationship with God. Not just repeating words, but feeling his presence and power. Emmanuel, God with us. And then making it, manifesting it, making it real, demonstrating it. Even if at first you don't believe it, even if at first you think that your whole life is just a mess and what in the world can you do, as in Mary's case, it all changed. It all changed when she had the encounter with the Christ, which we can have every day because he's ever present, isn't he? So, but take the time to nurture that relationship and that feeling of your oneness with the Father and the fact he is a source of your supply, your vision, your hearing, your breathing, everything, everything. It's all from him. But you see, the world tells you everything else all the time. And that's why we get a little muddled up at times. But always go back. And this is what it means to me when I say to stay in the Father's house, which I'm always saying, telling myself, stay in the Father's house. Stay in his consciousness. What is he saying? What does he say about any given situation? You know, that's in one of Bignell Young's writings. It says to be asking yourself, what would God say or do about this? Keep bringing it back. Keeping this idea of at-one-ment real and not just a nice thing we talk about a couple times a year. All right, let's see now. We had some few other people that sent things in. This was from Louise in Missouri. She's quoting also from an article. Spurgeon's Morning by Morning. It was compiled in 2007 by an Alistair Begg, which I never heard of it, but she says it's very helpful. He says, commit yourself fully to the activities that you have proved to draw you closest to Christ, because it is from him that all your fruits proceed. Any holy activity that will bring you to him will help you bear fruit. The sun is no doubt a great worker in fruit creating among the trees of the orchard, and Jesus is even more so among the trees of his garden of grace. When we have seen the utter emptiness and death of all earthly so-called power, we have cried in anguish, from him all my fruit must be found. No fruit can ever come from me. The more simply we depend upon the grace of God in Christ and wait upon the Holy Spirit, the more we will bring forth fruit unto God. We must trust Jesus for fruit as well as for life. So you have a job before you. Let it come from the Christ. Let love inspires, designates, and leads the way.
And illumine,
thank you. All those, it comes from the source of supply. Your love for whatever it is you're doing. And you will have fruit. So if your business seems to be at a dead end, then take the time to know these truths and operate them. And as Florence says, you can't say, okay, I did it this morning, so let's have it. Let's have it. I want to check for $1,000. Come on now, let's go. No. Who knows? I don't know how long any of this takes. It all depends on a lot of different things. Mainly you or whoever's applying the fruit, because the fruit is already there. It's a matter of bringing it forth. But you've got to line your thought up to God, to this oneness. Okay, Barry's squirming now. So.
Well, yeah. For us, we have the job that we have to do is to clear our own vision, isn't it? To see more clearly who and what God is, and who and what God is doing for us, and therefore who and what we are as His image and likeness. But we never know when the fruit is coming, but we do know what we have to do to see it clearly. And that is to clear our own vision.
And the fruit is always coming, and just might not be the fruit you're looking for.
Well, exactly.
Thank you. No, that's so true. You're so fixated on what you want. You have to have what you want. You don't even see all the good that God has for you sitting right there in front of you. That's so very true. So look around, folks. See what He's done. Be aware of His presence and what He's done. And be so very, very grateful for it. Because if you're not, prepared to receive any more, you might just as well forget about it. If you're not grateful for what you have, you think you're going to get more? You won't even recognize if it does come or appreciate it. So just hold up, hold off here. What do you have at this very moment? What are you grateful for? Have you even bothered to be grateful for it? Are you always looking for the next thing you want? The last citation in Science and Health is one that we've worked with a lot. Mrs. Evans loved it, and it's just, we must learn that life is God. You have no life but of God. Ask yourself, am I living the life that approaches the supreme good? Am I demonstrating the healing power of truth and love? If so, then the way will grow brighter unto the perfect day. Your fruits will prove what the understanding of God brings to man. And then this, hold perpetually this thought. What's perpetually?
Continuously. Non-stop.
Continue all the time.
Non-stop, yes indeed. That it is the spiritual idea, the Holy Ghost and Christ, which enables you to demonstrate with scientific certainty the rule of healing based upon its divine principle, love, underlying, overlying, and encompassing all true being. So powerful. Hold perpetually. You never stop thinking this. And again, it is not you. It is a spiritual idea, the Holy Ghost, the Christ, which enables you to demonstrate with scientific certainty, just like 2 + 2 = 4. The rule of healing based upon its divine principle, love, underlying, overlying, encompassing all true being. In the DVDs we watched on the Churches of Revelation, I forget which church it was,
Pergamum?
Yeah, the one though, where they turned directly from healing through the Christ to medicine and
witchcraft.
Witchcraft. It says it right there. They did right there. It's not even subtle. And their symbol was a serpent. They turned witchcraft for healing, which was materia medica and everything that. Instead of turning to God, it lays it right out there. It's in the Bible. It's certainly in this DVD. And yet, I don't know. We just go on blindly along looking for other sources
of healing.
Of healing than God. God should be our all. All right, Nancy, you want to share what you sent to me?
Yes, John 5, chapter 5:30. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father, which has sent me. But Jesus had just healed a man who had been physically disabled for 38 years. But because this wonderful miracle was carried out on the Sabbath day, the Jews sought to destroy him. They considered this healing as work, which they considered broke the Sabbath law. But far from breaking God's law, Christ was faithfully carrying out the work and the will of his Father. For he only said and did the things that he heard from his Father in heaven. Jesus was so in harmony with God that Jesus was so in harmony with God the Father that his will was also in direct accord with God's will, so that whatsoever he heard from his heavenly Father, he judged aright. The Son was in continuous and perfect unity with the Father, such that he carried out the will of the Father without fail. Jesus was one with his Father in spirit and in truth, and so he was well able to judge correctly what to do. And his judgment is just and right, because it flawlessly reflected the perfection and the perfect will of the Father every time. Jesus set aside his own will in order to do the will of him who sent him. And so he was well able to say, I can do nothing of my own. His purpose and will was set aside so that he carried out his Father's plan and purpose. And Jesus was able to say, as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. The Lord Jesus, in his earthly mission and ministry, is the singular demonstration of how God expects all of his children to live, doing nothing in and of ourselves, but only doing and saying those things that we hear from him. May we seek to follow his example, only saying and doing what we hear from the Lord, so that we may be able to say, my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of my Father in heaven.
Thank you. It's a very tricky thing, that will. You know, maybe there's somebody you really want to marry. Maybe you know it's deep inside, it's not the right person, but you really, really want to do it. So you do it anyway. That doesn't mean God has left you, but it means you're probably going to have some experiences that aren't so great. But you can, it'll turn around. It can turn around. But that's just one example I can think of, a will, where the will comes in, or, you know, maybe you just, you need to lose 10 pounds, but you really, really want to eat that whole big pizza. I don't know. There's just ways Eric can come in and talk to you and make you think you want to do something that's not really that great. And there's something inside you saying, you really shouldn't be doing that. That's kind of little examples, but those of you who are watching The Chosen, you see that last scene of Jesus on the donkey on Palm Sunday. He's totally submitting himself to this will of the Father's, which seems pretty, pretty hard, but he's willing to do it to prove to all mankind that there is no such thing as death. And to prove that love is always the victor. Prove all these things. He's willing to submit to that will. And
holy humility, unworldliness, and self-abandonment, as Mrs. Eddy says in Retrospection and Introspection.
Thank you. That's beautiful. Yes, thank you. So will, when you're demonstrating your oneness with God, is very important. You always are submitting your will to what the Father would have you do, and to be always listening. And he is speaking. He's always speaking. Sometimes we don't hear him, or it gets clouded up with our own will, but just keep working at it. It becomes clearer, and your way will become brighter unto the perfect day. So thank you, Nancy. And then this, something very beautiful that see here. That Carrie sent a beautiful article again by another favorite author, Ella Hoag, The Father He Doeth the Works, and that's in our golden text. And then she says, the record of Jesus' earth life portrays his unalterable, inviolate unity with God. Nothing short of his understanding of this spiritual unity could have enabled him to express at all times and under all circumstances the power of the divine nature in overcoming every mode and form of evil. When Jesus said to his disciples, "The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works," he revealed the secret of the success of his entire life work. Because men have not understood the full import of Jesus' work as the way shower to all mankind, they have failed to see that in these words of his, there is assurance to all men of such a unity with the Father. And then from Retrospection and Introspection, page 28, Mrs. Eddy says, he must be ours practically, guiding our every thought and action. Else, we cannot understand the omnipresence of good sufficiently to demonstrate, even in part, the science of the perfect mind and divine healing. So is he yours practically? Do you think about him guiding your every thought and action? And that does lead to this sense of the omnipresence of good. He's always available. He's always there. And then all the divine thoughts of which we are conscious are indeed from the Father expressing himself through his children. And what a marvelous vista of joy and gladness does such a realization unfold. With such a consciousness, how impossible would it be to entertain as real any opposing belief in evil? To be conscious of dwelling with spirit would certainly exclude all belief in matter as real or as having law or power. To be conscious of dwelling with truth and love would be the law of annihilation to all belief of error and hate. To be conscious of dwelling with life would be the transforming power to all belief in inaction, inability, limitation. Even to catch a glimpse of our unity with God as his perfect spiritual child is to place our feet on that immovable rock from which all storms of material sense are powerless to move us. So, think about it. You know, this is why it's good in the morning to go over the synonyms of God. So that's partly what it was saying here. Thinking about all those synonyms, what they are, you are, all knowing, all seeing, all acting, all wise, all loving, eternal. Claim that for you, yourself, as part of your oneness with the Father. And the more you do this, the more absolutely alert you will be to error if it's trying in your thinking or if you see it elsewhere. You will see it unmistakably. Not to make a reality of it, but to realize its seeming presence, seeming influence, and then to banish it with what's true. And you won't be afraid to do that. So this is our daily work. And topic of man, you know, it has to be, doesn't it? It has to be our oneness, our reflection. And the definition of man in recapitulation, this is about you. So you are idea, you are the image of love, you are not physique, you are a compound idea of God, including all right ideas, the generic term for all that reflects God's image and likeness, the conscious identity of being is found in science, in which you are the reflection of God, or mind, and therefore you are eternal. You have no separate mind from God. You have not a single quality underived from deity. You possess no life, intelligence, nor creative power of your own, but you reflect spiritually all that belongs to your maker. You never created a child. You never created a business plan. You never created a darn thing. It's only as you express God that those things come into being. And then they will be good, successful, healing. So, and work with these beautiful statements because they are so powerful and they lead to such great joy.
They're a great treatment, too, when you pray for the world, for the children, cities.
Yes, thank you. Now, there was one other article that I found very interesting and helpful. Different, though. And this is by the Carey Center. This was by William McCracken. It was called Planting the Seed. And it tends toward the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Now, but he's writing this during World War I. And I don't know if I can, well, one thing he quotes 520, Mrs. Eddy. This is a very important statement from Science and Health. Here is the emphatic declaration that God creates all through mind, not through matter, that the plant grows, not because of seed or soil, but because growth is the eternal mandate of mind. And don't you accept any other growth but the eternal mandate of mind? Now, Era says, oh, things are growing in your body or things are growing here, there, and everywhere. No. It's only the eternal mandate of mind is the only growth to accept. It's the only growth there is. But then he goes on. See if I can read part of it. I'll read some of this because it's very interesting. This is the world work he was doing for World War I. Obedience to God brings fruition. It causes the grass to grow in meekness. It brings forth the savory herb, the nourishing grain, the fruit tree with blossom of beauty and refreshing fruitage. There will be no lack of vegetation when the agriculturist knows that God is mind, and mind is the only creator, and that the product of mind is ideas, which manifest as plants, are not subject to decay, but are perennial, with unfailing times of renewal and joyous upspringing. That's very beautiful. And then, Christian Scientists at this season are under special orders to plant the right seed in the right way and to watch over it night and day. This applies to our time. For while men slept, a ruthless enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And now the tares are appearing and need to be burned. Years before the hurling of bombs and grenades and the shooting of shrapnel and torpedoes, the sowing of mental tares began through a mental malpractice, whose purpose it was to uncover national weakness in order to exploit them, thus reversing the modus operandi of Christian Science practice, which uncovers error in order to heal. The sowing of discord among allies, of class wars within nations, of apathy, discouragement, of peace without repentance, leaving the malpractitioners to suppose they can gain full control of the world's activities. These are some of the tares which the farmer metaphysician must now gather and burn because they were sowed while men slept.
And they're being sowed right now.
So I thought that was Good old William McCracken. It goes on. I can't read the whole thing. It's our bell is rung and Gary has something else beautiful to read, but
I'll add it to the website.
Thank you. Yes, these are things you can, these will be added and you can read them in their entirety on the website.
Okay. And this is an article entitled Good is Expressed in Wholeness. And it's from a 1902 journal. And its author is G.M. Whoever. And they write, we should not sentence ourselves by admitting traits of character or a disposition adverse to the Christ character, any more than we should admit the reality of sickness and its many phases. If we do, we shut out the manifestation of the Christ idea and hold ourselves still in bondage to the Adam belief. If God is the only creator, the father and mother of all, and man is his offspring, then there can be no time when man does not express all that is beautiful and harmonious in character. He thus brings out all the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. To be made every whit whole is to have no nature apart from God. In speaking of a good-natured person, do we stop to think it truly means the nature of good God expressed through that one? Wholeness, completeness, is the full expression of good, in which health, character, and disposition are included. End quote.
Demonstrating your oneness.
Yes.
Thank you all for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.